headache medicine that didn't work. Ruth?
All right, so this was a headache remedy, and it was called...
Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead.
Is that the head whole on. Name?
Head on was what it was called.
Okay, head on.
Where, yep. Where do you put it?
Hmm. How does it work?
Yeah.
We don't know. All we know is that you apply it directly to the forehead. So that was the entire marketing campaign behind
it. Was it kind of like a roll-on, like a deodorant?
It was, yeah. It was a homeopathic miracle balm that was made with white bryony and potassium dichromate, which basically were just substances that were diluted to such a degree that it was basically a stick of wax that you would put on your forehead and it would do nothing.
Would it look like you had something on your head or you wouldn't see it?
I think it was kind of like a glue stick. So it was kind of like a
Give you like a little
stick.
Sheen or something?
Possibly. It just made your forehead sticky. It did not.
So you actually used it? I never in my life would purchase it. I just from the commercial alone was like, yeah, no, you're never getting a dollar from me.
No, I never personally used it. I'm just going by what I've seen of it.
If a fly landed on your head, would it stick to your head?
Like a fly.
Probably. I guess then it would actually serve a purpose. It would catch flies, which is more than it did to cure headaches. So there was there were a lot of complaints.
Year was this?
This was in the mid-2000s. So if you were... Yeah.
We had an FDA, right?
I thought so.
We did. And there was regulatory pressure on head-on. So the Better Business Bureau and the FDA and FTC raised concerns and objected to the company's false advertising claims. And basically, the company Morales Healthcare insisted that the product worked. But all they could really say is, well, people say that it worked. So they had no evidence to back
it
up.
They had no real test.
Wow.
But the thing that people remember about this is the commercial, which is basically just head on, apply directly to the forehead over and over and over.
And just keep saying that over
and
over.
These were just relabeled Elmer's glue sticks.
Yeah. That's exactly what it's
all there.
100% what it looked like.
And it would pop up between other commercials.
So and the volume was so loud.
Can you play it?
There we go.
Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Available at Walgreens.
That's the whole commercial.
Head on. Apply directly to the forehead.
Wow.
Head on.
They just loop
apply
it three times to fill the 30 seconds.
Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Available at Walgreens.
That was the whole commercial. It would pop up in between other commercials. You'd be watching TV and then all of a sudden it would just get stuck in your head.
What's happening during that time?
It would just be someone with the glue stick putting it on their forehead.
And would they go circular motion or back
they
and forth?
Just kind of go... Straight across
one
the
time,
forehead.
Straight across.
Yeah, yeah. You go side to side with it.
So if there's a big lump of like wax on their forehead, then they had a really bad hangover or headache.
Sucks if you have bangs. It would just stick your bangs right to your forehead.
Yeah, come off of your pillowcase?
It's just a woman doing it over, and it loops the video too.
Yeah. I love that it didn't work too. It was just nonsense.
Yeah. It worked.
Just the meeting for the product and the commercial. They're like, what we're going to do is we're going to make like a glue stick that you put on your forehead.
Right. It's probably chapstick. And if you look at the ingredients on this, it's probably chapstick so they can get it by the FDA.
Yep.
All right, Tim, what do you want to do for the commercial? Head on, apply directly to the forehead.
And just keep doing it.
Come on, just keep doing it.
They just wanted to make sure that you remembered it. That was it. And I think probably it just got stuck in so many people's heads that they may have bought it just to try it. And then this company has done its job because they've made their money.
Do we know if it made any money?
I don't have a stat on that, but
it was around
for a while. Those commercials ran
I remember
for a couple
these.
Years.
Yeah, I definitely remember these playing.
It was impossible not to. You'd be watching at a normal volume, and then this would come in at like three times the level of everything else that was... It was impossible to ignore it.
Apparently, you can still get it. Yeah, like they still sell it, but it is now marketed as a homeopathic. Applicator is similar to a glue stick. I'm just reading the Wikipedia.
Homeopathic basically means we don't have to prove that it works. It's It just gets away with being able to sell it and pseudo, not have to go through the FDA.
Pseudo scientific system of alternative medicine.
Yep. Pseudo.
I like this comment. This product promises nothing, builds no expectations, and yet disappoints everyone.
A dramatic dog rescue. Two dogs were rescued from East Rock Park. And let's talk to Assistant Chief Danny Coughlin. I mistakenly said he performed the rescue. It was Matt Walsh, firefighter Matt Walsh, who did it. Hey, Chief, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So what happened?
We received a phone call about 4:45 on Sunday. Just pure luck. Somebody out there hiking saw these two dogs off the cliff about 40 feet down, sitting on this tiny little ledge.
Oh, my
call
God.
Call 911. Yeah. We sent an engine up there to check it out. Just so happened that engine was one of our special operations engines. So they're used to performing the technical rescues like this. They call for the heavy rescue, which ends up going up there. And we ended up doing a pretty extensive rope rescue, a lowering operation. Firefighter Matt Walsh got lowered down twice, which is pretty strenuous, especially on his lower legs. You know, we're lowering him down. He's got to get the dogs. You don't know if those dogs are going to bite. They were not happy at first to see him. And but he did it. He went down twice. Really brave move. He did a great job. The whole crew did a great job. But, you know, Matt went down there and got it done.
So the dogs were down 40 feet, but how many more feet are down was the cliff?
So from the top of the cliff to the dogs, it was 40 feet. We were right. Almost at the summit of East Rock.
Wow.
How many feet is that?
Oof, God. Several hundred.
When a firefighter says, oof, God.
Yeah.
That means lots.
A lot of feet.
A lot of feet. Yeah, how do you think the dogs got mountain. There?
You know, I really don't know. We were never able to locate an owner. You know, we don't know if they were abandoned or if somebody was hiking and just thought they were lost. You know, the other part of the operation is we actually had to put a drone down and the second firefighter, Max Augustine, because at that point, you know, you've got to hope that there's not a owner, you know, another victim down there.
Right. So you look down below, because I was going to say, is it possible that there are more dogs that didn't make the 40-foot cliff and are down on the bottom? So you searched that for a potential owner.
Yep.
Or other dogs. So those were the only two dogs you were able to find?
Yes.
Man, that's nuts.
And they seemed like they knew each other. They were together, it looked like.
Well, they look like the same. They look like they were from the same litter.
Maybe, yeah. They're very similar looking.
They're identical dogs.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they're identical. They're definitely, you know, siblings or, you know, definitely under the same owner. So,
man.
And no sign of the owner?
No. Like I said, we put that drone down there. We asked around at the top, you know, looking for any heat signatures with the drone. We found nothing. And, you know, nobody's claiming them as of right now. They're still sitting on Fournier Street in the city shelter.
So Matt Walsh, when he goes over that ledge and it's hundreds of feet down and he's on a rope, what is that rope anchored to?
So there's different systems we use. This system, we anchored it to the heavy rescue. It has what's called, it sounds funny, but they're called bomb-proof anchors, which means they're not going anywhere. And they're anchored to the heavy rescue at this point. You know, you have a large crew at the top because these operations, they're not easy. They're not put together quickly. You know, you're not putting a human being over a mountain in a rush, you know?
Mm, right.
So
that takes a lot of balls to do that. I don't care how many times you train. That's just,
yeah,
it's not natural for your brain to look down and say, yep, I'm going over there.
Although I'm glad that when you're being lowered down, they use something called bomb-proof anchors, you know, because that's you need to reassure me that even if a bomb goes off, this is not going to drop me, you know?
Yeah, he's good at what he does. You know, they train all the time, the Special Operations Division. You know, this isn't something you can just do on a whim, right? You have to keep practicing it. But, you know, he's, for lack of a better term, got a big set for going over that edge like that.
No doubt.
No doubt. Yep.
No doubt. Like, East Rock is, that place is on your radar, right? You're there multiple times a year.
We do. Usually we have stranded hikers. I would say 2 to 3 times we have to put, just on East Rock alone, never mind West Rock and other places throughout the city. but we have to put firefighters on ropes probably 2 to 3 times a year there.
How do they get, so what are they trying to climb up or down, or they get lost?
A little of both. They get lost. You know, we you get inexperienced hikers. We get the occasional alcohol-induced hiker.
Huh. That would be me.
So, yep. So.
What? We're just walking? Drinking.
Yeah, yeah. You know, next thing you know, they find themselves in a situation they can't get out of.
Ooh. And you've been doing this for 23 years. How many people do you think in the 23 years you've pulled off of East Rock? If you had to just guess.
I think the department as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, 60, 70.
Man.
That's too
many. You would think by now we would learn.
I know.
Yeah. You know, like I said, they get in there and then they find themselves in a situation they can't get out of. You know, you don't think it's going to happen to you, but it does.
What's one of the trickier rescues you've had as a firefighter?
Well, I think if, as far as East Rock goes, we had rescue off of East Rock. It was a recovery, not a rescue, where a hiker had fallen and gotten entangled in the trees. So it was a complicated move to get them out of there.
Oh, man.
That's a tough one.
Jeez. Have you ever had to take in anything that was stuck on, like, a guy's wiener off the... or do you give that to, like, the new guys?
So, you know, it's funny you say that because the rescue, again, this is a special operation, specialty company. They can do anything, right? It's called an all-hazards. We're an all-hazards department. We go to 20 York, Yale, quite often to get things off of body parts. So, yes, I have not personally, but they do it.
Yeah, because you're the assistant chief. You could say whoever. You could assign people that, right?
Yeah, I'm more of a pointer these days than
yeah.
I am a doer.
That's that's what I want. I want to be a pointer. Like, hey, you're on it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Who do you? Who,
yeah, it happens.
If that call came in now, who would you point to and say, go to Yale?
Yeah, it's the heavy rescue every time. They have all the tools and equipment, the specialty training. So, you know, they get a lot of... they get a lot of praise. They get a lot of high-profile calls, but they also get those type of calls, which
right.
are quite as fun.
No, but, you know, it's needed. And it's funny. We just think of firefighters fighting fires, but it's, you know, when there's a car accident and you have to get someone out, it's the firefighters. It's
yep.
just East Rock. It's, you know, something stuck on the wiener. It's like these weird things. Have you ever had to get someone's head stuck out of a fence?
Or the banisters even. Yeah, the banisters. Kids all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The one thing we don't do is the, you know, everybody thinks we do cats and trees. We don't. My father was a New Haven firefighter. He always said, you know, I asked him about it once when I was young. He goes, let me ask you a question. He goes, you ever see a cat skeleton in a tree? And I'm like, no, I haven't. He goes, well, there you go.
They find their way out. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Your dad was a very wise man. Is he still with us?
No, we lost him last year.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he did. I'm a fourth generation New Haven fire.
Wow.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There should be a story on your family.
Detective.
So your great-grandfather was on the New Haven Fire Department?
My great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, two great-uncles, my father, I'm on, and I have a 15-year-old son who's dying to get on.
Oh, no kidding. How cool
yeah,
is that?
So, yeah.
Your great-great-grandfather, what year was that?
Yeah, it was the 20s.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
You know, nothing taken away from you guys, but they didn't have the equipment back then that you guys have.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. My father gets on in 1970. They didn't have air packs yet. And,
wow.
You know, there weren't fire suppression systems, all that stuff. I mean, they're going to, you know, we go to 100 and plus fires a year, which is insane. I mean, they were going to 2 to 3 a day.
A day.
A day.
With no air packs.
With no air packs. They used to put the nozzle up against their mouth and crack it so the fresh air, for lack of a better term, coming off the water is how they kept going.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those are
yeah.
men.
Yep.
those were men. Jesus.
That's the type of guy who says you ain't seen nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. as much of a man as we want to feel now, we look at those guys and say, yeah, not quite. We're not quite there.
No, wow. No, we can't touch those guys.
You're not allowed to complain to those guys either.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. This is there's a great picture of a fire engine pulled by horses going down a New Haven street. And I was like, man, not only were they fighting fires with really no gear, but they were like, all right, horses, we hope you go in the direction we want you to right now.
No kidding.
Yeah. Really?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's no emergency brake on that.
Yeah, that picture is actually a mural at the Gulf Street Firehouse. It's on a giant wall there. Beautiful picture. I don't remember who actually painted that, but that's like an iconic New Haven picture.
Yeah. And well, thank you to all the New Haven firefighters. And another job well done, saving a couple of doggies.
Someone should paint the picture of him coming up the cliff with the dog, because the dog is having the best time.
it's funny because he comes up, we get the pictures, and you just know the pictures are going to be on the news. So we start to, pick on him a little bit. Matt Walsh is a funny guy. And, the first thing he says is, he got me on picture with this ridiculous mustache. He grew out a mustache for whatever reason. After what he just did, this impressive task, he goes, I'm going to look like an idiot with my mustache.
Well, he knows you guys. He knows what he's dealing with. Assistant Chief Danny Coughlin, thank you for your decades with your family of service, and thanks for coming on, and please tell Matt we said job well done.
Thank you.
We will. Thank you.
All right, brother.
Jazz and AJ, Splash Car Wash, Stump the Chumps.
Wow, it's a morning of celebrities here. We just had Jeff Tate from Queensryche leave the studio, and now walking in is Nate and Ayesha. But the real star is in Ayesha's lap. Who is that guy?
Oh, that was him hiccuping.
That is amazing.
That is amazing.
Perfect.
This is Lincoln.
Good timing.
Lincoln. Oh, there he goes again.
He's got much to say.
So much hair.
He shouldn't have had all that brandy on his way in.
Come on, guys.
He was nervous to be on the radio for the first time.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And you guys look good coming back from a house fire.
Yes.
Baby house fire, real busy year.
Baby house fire. Can we add anything else?
Let's not ask. All right, you guys want to sit in for Stump the Chumps here?
Yeah. Wait, before we start, can I just say?
Yes.
Thank you to everyone who donated at the comedy show through Chaz and AJ. We really appreciate it. And also just through GoFundMe online. I've gotten so many messages from listeners. And I just want to say both from Lincoln, myself, Nate, and Harper at home, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. I feel so special. We feel so special to be part of this Chaz and AJ family. So I just wanted to say thank you.
So
yeah, sorry. And Stump the Chumps. Let's do it.
So you guys are okay now? You're in more of a not temporary housing?
No, we're living in my friend's attic, and franking it up.
Great.
But we'll be moving into a home on the 22nd officially. Yep. So
great.
Yeah.
And then they rebuild your house?
Yep.
Great.
Yeah. And I'm probably within 9 months or so, hopefully.
Yep.
Hopefully not longer than a year.
Good.
I know. Yeah.
Good. All right.
Yeah.
Chaz and AJ. Craig and Vernon.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey.
Hey, Rob Zombie has a brother. What band does he play in?
Oh, son of a...
Wow.
I don't know.
Rob Zombie has a brother.
Yeah. I didn't even know he had a brother.
Nope.
Bob Zombie.
Wow. What would they...
Is it a band that we would know? Or is it like...
Yeah, they were pretty big about 20 years ago. I don't know if they're still around, but they were a pretty big band.
Lincoln knows the answer. We just can't translate that.
He is desperately trying to answer that question.
He's trying to tell us.
Yeah.
What is the answer?
So his brother's name is Spider One, nicknamed Spider One, and his band was Power Man 5000.
Okay. Wow.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a singer.
I think that's what Lincoln said.
That is exactly what he said. All right, Craig, thank you. You're in the running.
It's the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater soundtrack.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Pat and Guilford.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
In the acronym for base jumping, what does the A stand for in base jump?
Oh, I didn't realize that it was an acronym.
Is it aerial?
I didn't either.
My guess would be Ariel,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right, because it jumps.
Let's say Ariel.
Yeah. Ariel?
Ariel is incorrect.
What is it?
It stands for building, antenna, span, and earth. So span like a bridge and earth like a cliff.
Wow. Mm. You see those videos? I'm like, no way.
Absolutely not.
No,
I never understood why they called it that. That makes a lot more sense now. Yeah. I was like, what is the point of that?
Yeah. All right, Pat, you're in the running. Stump the Chump, stump us with general knowledge trivia. Get in the running for Skip the Line passes at Legends of Fear.
Ooh.
And a free car wash from Splash Car Wash. Mike in Stratford.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
Great to hear AJ this morning. The band Queensryche, what was the name that they originally wanted to go with, but it was not available?
Not available.
Let me see if Jeff's still in the building.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna call Jeff right now.
Oh.
Was it Mud? It starts with
like
an M,
the
right?
Mob or something
mob.
Like that.
Starts with an M, right?
Yeah.
Mob? The
I'm
Mob?
To help you. I want these tickets.
Mob? The Mob?
I think that's our answer, brother.
It is, dang it.
Oh, yay!
I was just reading that last night. Thank you, Brian. Ralph, East Haven.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
What is Texas State Flower?
Star.
Cactus.
State flower? I like the bluebell or something like that.
Isn't that ice cream?
Blue. That might be ice cream, Phil.
Lincoln, what do you think?
He's stumped.
He just likes the microphone.
Oh, he is grabbing it.
He is focused on that microphone. What's the answer, Ralph?
You guys were close. The blue bonnet.
Blue bonnet.
Oh,
so what did you say?
I said the blue bell, which is ice cream.
Thank you. Have
Thank
a good
you,
day.
Ralph.
Good
You're job. In the running. Debbie on the road. Hey, Debbie.
Morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. What do they call Halloween in Iowa?
Halloween. Are you eating?
Is it All Hallows Eve?
Is that your final one?
What are you? First of all, I need to know what you're doing. Are you eating?
I'm driving in the rain.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Wipers.
What is it, Brian?
I mean, my guess was All Hallows Eve, but
I've heard that
like everywhere.
Yeah. Let's try that.
Okay, it's called Beggar's Night.
Yeah.
Never would have said that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Debbie.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.